very beginning, the Jewish calendar, the day would start at sunset. So from Saturday night, we would be into the day of Sunday. So from last night, we started reading the Gospel of St. John chapter 6, and then it goes in chronological order from the chapter 6, verse 16. And then this morning in Matins, we read another section of chapter 6, and finally we end with the Gospel of the Liturgy from chapter 6, verses 35 to 45. And chapter 6 starts off by the feeding of the multitudes that were following Christ, and they said there's no food for them. And that was what we read this morning at Matins. And he blessed and he fed them. And they were already fed, so they were following him. So when he fulfills our physical needs, that's when it's easy to follow Christ. When he fulfills our bodily needs, everybody follows him. When he gives us what we want, everybody follows him. And then when he started talking about eternal life and the cross and how life is not as easy as you might think, it's not all just food and drink like I fed you, then people started leaving him. And he even turned around and said to his disciples, do you want to leave me too? And St. Peter said, where do we go? You have the words of the kingdom of God. And then he starts off with this, with the I am statement. So the gospel today is I am the bread of life. And we might wonder why the church has chosen those readings during the Holy 50 days. Christ has resurrected and he's in heaven, but he wants to remind us that he didn't leave us. Just because he resurrected, he didn't leave us. He gave us and he left us his body and his blood to partake of it. And this is to say to us that if you want to live with me, the resurrected body and the resurrected life, you have to abide in me and let me abide in you. And the way we abide in him and he abides in us is through the Holy Eucharist. So it's not something that we routinely do on a weekly basis, thinking this is just how we were raised and our parents taught us to do, but it's actually something that's been done from the very first centuries of Christianity. If you paid attention to the Pauline reading this morning from the Epistle of Ephesians, the church made a point to choose this reading, and it says that they were meeting on the first day of the week to celebrate the day of the Lord. And that's what they would do. On the first day of the week is Sunday, and they would commemorate and celebrate the day of the Lord, partaking of the meal that he was given to them as the Eucharist. So it's not something that's we just came up with now. It's been happening since the very beginning of Christianity in the first centuries, based on the Gospel of St. John, based on the Gospel and the commandment that he says, if you abide in me, and I abide in you. And there's a nice meditation by St. Cyril of Alexandria, and he says, the human being who had been created for eternal life is now given power over death through the partaking of the bread of life. So it's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that's very, very serious for our eternal life. Man was created not to die. From the very beginning, he was created to be with God. Adam and Eve, they were created to be with God forever, for eternity. But then when they sinned and they were separated from God, God said he protected the tree of life. He put a cherubim on the tree of life. Otherwise, they would be living in death. The tree of life is for eternity, but they were going to be in death eternally. So he protected the tree of life with the cherubim, and then he came after, and he incarnated for us, and he was resurrected to give us this ability to go back to the original plan that Christ had. Not that we threw away, or we threw out his plan, or we threw him off. No, that was already the plan of Christ, is to create a being that he can be one of them, and then give him the ability to be like him. That was the original plan of God. It wasn't a plan that for Adam and Eve to live forever, and then they sinned, and then God went back to the drawing board, and he said, what do I do now? They messed up my plan. No, of course not. God is omnipotent, and he knows everything from the beginning of time. So his plan originally was to create a being in which he can take part of that being, become a creature that he created, to be able to give that being the ability to raise up to be in the level of Christ, not in nature, not in his divine nature, but like St. Peter says in his epistle, by being partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, he gave us what is his and he took what is ours. Like we say in the Tazbiha, the Thursday night or Friday Theotokia, we say he took what is ours and gave us what is his. What is ours? What do we have to offer to God? Nothing. Our sins. That's all he took. Our sins. He took our sins upon him on the cross, And he gave us what is his. What is his? Everything. Life. Life is his. So by partaking of the bread and the blood of Christ, we don't just participate in a routine or a ritual that the church has handed down from generation to generation, but it's a medicine. It's a medicine for our eternal life. And if you don't have the Son, then you don't have life. He said that in the Gospel of St. John. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. So it's not something to be taken lightly at all, but it's, like I said, it's like a cure for this fallen nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve, and it's to give us the ability to go back to the original state which he created us in, to be able to live with him forever. I just want to highlight a couple of nice verses that he said today. He said, "But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe." Of course, he was talking to his disciples and the people that lived in his time, but it's also a message to us today that when we doubt, we have seen Christ in our life. Day to day, we see Christ's hands working in our life. You know, if you're younger, if you don't have a lot of life experiences, speak to your parents about how Christ guided their life, how they ended up where they are today. And if you are beginning to experience Christ in your life, it's a good habit to get into, to write down the miracles, even no matter how small or how big they are. Create like a diary and write it down with dates and times and as much detail as you can, because this is something that you can refer back to in the future when we're faced with challenges and we feel like Christ has abandoned us and there's no hope and life is closing in on every side. It's a good thing to go back and read how Christ was in our life in the past and how he directed our path from the beginning of our birth. And this is not something that, you know, I'm recommending. It's something that God himself recommended. He gave it to the Israelites. He gave them a commandment. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy, he tell your children, tell them how I took you out of the land of Egypt, because the kids that were in the promised land, they had no idea what happened to their ancestors in Egypt and how he took them, and the 10 plagues and the desert and the water from the rock, all these miracles, they didn't live through that. So Christ or God back in the Old Testament told them, say these things to your children, recite them over and over, write them down. He even said, write them down and remember them from generation to generation. So this generation knows the ability that God has in their life, so they're not worried. Whenever we have worry and whenever we have fear, we become like an easy prey in the hands of the devil. He introduces fear and doubt first in our life, and then we're easy for him to pick our life. So Christ's message today to his disciples says, you have seen me and yet do not believe, because they saw the miracles, but we are in the same boat. We're in the same situation. We see Christ's hands every time in our life, and yet we do not believe. And then he goes on to give us a very comforting statement, and he says, anybody that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So if we ask Christ for anything, he will give us, whether something physical, material, or spiritual, he will give us. But he said, ask first for the kingdom of heaven. All these things that you're asking for, they're easy, and that's not really what's going to bring you happiness and joy that you think they're going to have an effect like that on you. No, but ask first the kingdom of heaven. But whatever you ask of me, he says, I will by no means cast out. So try him. Try Christ. Ask him for anything that you want in life, and you'll see his hands giving you even better than what you expected. It's like a little child who's asking for, you know, for a small toy. He doesn't know that, you know, he can ask his parents for more. So he asks for whatever limits are in his eyes, whatever he can see his parents' limitations are, but they can give a lot more than what he's asking. We do the same thing with Christ. We ask him for the little things. I want a new car, a new house, you know, a nice career. But we don't ask him for the bigger things in life, as being part of our life. Be a part in our life daily. Let us live the kingdom of heaven while on earth. Give us the peace and the happiness and the joy that you promise. And all these little things will be added to you. So Christ's message today from the Gospel of St. John is to remember that whenever we approach the holy mysteries, the Eucharist, it's not something to be done out of routine. It's something to be done as if it's for our eternal life, not to be taken lightly, but it's a source of our eternal life. And sometimes we need that reset button. Sometimes we need to hit the reset button whenever we get into the routine of life, and every Sunday or Saturday, whenever we come to liturgy, just part of a habit, we need to sometimes take a step back and focus and say, no, you know what, this is more crucial than just a habit. It's not something to scare us from the Eucharist, but it's something to give us a reverence as we approach the Eucharist. And Abuna says, this is the body of Christ as he's giving it to you. And you say, Amen. Amen is, I believe that this is truly the body and the blood of Christ given for our remission of sins and eternal life. And to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.